Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, welcome to the Daily Jungle. Yesterday was Podcast Tuesday. Good news, today is Podcast Wednesday. If you were waiting for Ep 28 with Bernard Hopkins, it is dropping this afternoon, and trust me, it is worth the wait. Now, today's show was awesome, and not just because I ignored every single Pi Day email and tweet that you sent to me, but because it is the end of the legal tampering period, and the NFL is going off. Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman broke it all down. The Warriors took a day off before getting lit at Steph Curry's 30th birthday party. Kyle in Green Bay waited 3 hours to take a shot at ripping a golden ticket. You're going to want to hear how that turned out. My takes, your calls. Let's get it. The Daily Jungle starts right now. Big, big day. An amazing day. And not just because it's Pi Day. Go ahead, Colognes. Do what you do with that. It is Pi Day. Pi, P-I, Pi. That's not why today is awesome. Not because we are one day closer to the field of 64 starting, which is a really good thing. But today is awesome because it is the official end of legal tampering day. So NFL teams are still unable to officially sign players until 4 p.m. Eastern today. But at the rate deals are being announced, there will not be anybody left by the time the clock does hit 4 p.m. I mean, whoever thought that legal tampering would be so awesome? Rosters, chopping, changing, turning over every single minute. Again, nothing is official until 4 p.m. Eastern, but here is a quick rundown of the latest moves, and it runs like, or sounds like a list of school cancellations on a snow day. For instance, everybody knows about Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, Sammy Watkins, Allen Robinson, but there's Paul Richardson to Washington, Albert Wilson to Miami, Darren Fells to the Browns, Carlos Hyde to the Browns. And yes, it is the same Carlos Hyde who once tweeted, quote, "Cleveland sports are horrible, LOL." Yeah, I mean, like, whatever. It was 7 years ago. And they were horrible. Now everything is different. So whatever you do, Carlos, just don't delete that tweet. It was a strong take. And it was true when you said it. Jonathan Stewart to the Giants, Jerick McKinnon to the 49ers, Chase Daniel to the Bears, Sam Bradford to the Cardinals. Sam Bradford for 20 mil per to the Cardinals. I'll hit that later on. Mike Glennon will be cut by the Bears. Mike Glennon will be signed by the Cardinals. And no losers, I do not know if the deal requires that the stadium roof always be open. Just like I'm not interested in your zingers about safari parks in the Phoenix area. None of that makes any sense. It sure as hell does not make this show better. So keep your giraffe smack to yourself, or your scope, or your YouTube show, or Facebook Live. Just keep that crap away from me and my program. And now the New York Jets. The New York Jets are not going to sign Kirk Cousins. They didn't get the guy, but they got pretty much everybody else. Teddy Bridgewater to the Jets. Josh McCown back to the Jets. Tremaine Johnson to the Jets. Avery Williamson to the Jets. Spencer Long to the Jets. I mean, hell, at this point, I could just start making up names and say that they signed with the Jets, and nobody would stop me. Nobody would know any different. Meanwhile, the Pats about to lose Nate Solder, which I'll get to, and Malcolm Butler, and Danny Amendola, and Deion Lewis. And don't even get me started on the Green Bay Packers. Actually, do get me started on the Green Bay Packers. I'll hit them in a minute. Their moves have been so dramatic, they get their own take. Everything that happened yesterday was so dramatic that Adrian Peterson was cut by the Cardinals and it barely made a sound. So by the time the clock actually hits 4 p.m. and guys can officially sign, there may not be anybody left who hasn't already signed. Well, nobody who isn't A.J. McCarron. This guy's had a hell of a ride, right? Hell of a ride. And by that, I mean not a good ride at all. It was only a few weeks back that he won his legal battle to become a free agent. Had to be thinking, yeah! And now he's a free agent, and he still has not signed when almost everybody else has. No! Yeah! You know, that musical chairs metaphor has been so played out, but the music is slowing down, and my man McCarron isn't even in the room yet, which sucks. Saying something sucks is not a take, but that flat out sucks. Because it wasn't that long ago that it looked like he was about to cash in, and now who knows what's going to happen. Then again, at the rate things are going, the Jets will sign him because they'll want a 15th free agent and a 7th quarterback. Again, teams are free to start legally signing guys at 4 p.m. Eastern today. That is, if there is anybody left to sign. In the meantime, go ahead, hit me up. What do you think about what's gone down so far? Packer fans, hey, so much for the team never ever doing jack in free agency. They do now. They bring in tight end Jimmy Graham, defensive end Muhammad Wilkerson, a couple of really big swings. Packer fan, do you like that move to switch out Jordy Nelson for Jimmy Graham? More importantly, does Aaron Rodgers like that move to switch out Jordy Nelson for Jimmy Graham? Have to think so, right? There's no way they make a move like that without checking with him first. The Vikings are about to make Kirk Cousins the highest paid quarterback in the entire league. The question is he really that much better than Case Keenum? And the answer is yes, he is. And are they overpaying a guy who has never won anything significant? Again, the answer is yes, they are. And they're right to do so. If you think you're a quarterback away, you take that big swing. And given the defense they have, and the offensive weapons, and the offensive line, and the coach, they are a quarterback away from playing in the Super Bowl. I mean, no, Kirk Cousins is not a top five quarterback, but he's better than what they had, and he'll be better than he was in Minnesota. Minnesota is right, in my opinion, to go all in with this guy. And one more thing, like, I love my life. I love my life. I would not change a thing about my life. I would not want to be anybody other than me, except for Sam Bradford. Except for Sam Bradford, because Bradford reportedly gets a one-year deal worth $20 million. $20 million per, coming off a year where he played just six quarters. $20 million after missing more games than he has played in the last 5 years. $20 million for a guy who's 500 in the games that he did play. Good work if you can get it. And good for you, Sam. If you can spin it even a little and you're standing upright, you're going to get paid in that league. Of course, that's always the issue with Sam Bradford, right? If he's going to be standing upright after week one. Earl Grant, the head coach there, is my guest. Earl, good morning. Great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Earl, you officially arrived in San Diego. Now you're a little over 48 hours away from tipping it off against Auburn. How is life for you and the Cougar Nation right now?
Well, you know, life is good. I mean, obviously, we're really excited that we were able to punch out ticket and make it to the big dance. It's been 19 years, so really, really excited for the program. Now players in the city of Charleston, I think it's a great accomplishment.
Now I'm going to talk about what that program means to you and how you came through, but go back to the conference championship game against Northeastern for a moment. You were down 13 at halftime, 17 in the second half, but you battle all the way back. You send that game into OT. You win by 7. So when you look back on that game, what sticks out the most? Is it the specific plays, the baskets, or maybe just the emotion that comes from winning a game like that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the perseverance of our players and the determined spirit. You know, we were down 13 at half. I didn't think 13 was a big deficit. You know, you got 20 minutes to play. That's a lot of time. When we got down 17, it was 16 minutes left in the game. And I felt pretty comfortable if we could, you know, do a good job of putting together multiple stops and sharing the responsibility on offense, I thought we could chip into it and maybe get it to 12. And that's exactly what we did. We chipped away at it and got it to 12, and then we got it to 8. And eventually we won the game in overtime.
Earl Grant joining us. Now, Earl, you're from Charleston, and the story goes you used to save Piggly Wiggly greenback stamps to get into home games. So what's it mean to you to personally be leading this program back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in nearly two decades?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's weird. You know, 1996, I know College of Charleston made the NCAA tournament. They were playing against Maryland in the first round, and my cousin LaRon Prophet was a player at Maryland at the time. And I remember calling him and telling him how tough a game that would be. Certainly, he didn't believe me, but I was a senior in high school. They shut the school down, brought everybody to the cafeteria, watched the game on the big screen. And then in 99 was the last time they went. I was a junior in college. And so it's been a long time coming. Coach John Chris did a great job building the program, and I'm just really happy and fortunate that we are able to make the step in the right direction and get the program back on the map.
Clones, let me talk to you about my pals at Stamps.com. It goes without saying that the U.S. Postal Service is an important tool for any business reaching every household every single day. Now, Stamps.com is the easiest way to access all the amazing services of the post office. Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. You can print postage for any mail class right from your own computer, with the exact amount of postage every single time, so you never underpay or overpay. And Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I love Stamps.com, and the reason I use Stamps.com is because it is convenient, it is easy, it is reliable, it is so efficient, it saves me so much time. I love this product. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. So go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Jungle. To get this deal, go to Stamps.com and enter the code name Jungle. I love this product. I know you will too. That's Stamps.com. I love it. Now it's back to our Daily Jungle. You know, I know how close you are to John Kress. You mentioned your cousin, Laurent Prophet. He played on that Maryland team, and you did tell him that. You said, look, do not sleep on these guys. They're going to be a handful. So what do you remember specifically about that game? And then how much did that team and that season impact your desire to be a head coach?
Well, I remember, you know how well of a job that Coach Kress did assembling a team full of junkyard dogs. I mean, they had some tough guys, some big post players, some really athletic guards, Anthony Johnson, Shane McCravey, had a big guy, Shaquet Attack, Thaddeus Delaney in the middle, Stacey Harris, Rodney Connor. They were long and athletic. Jamel President. They changed defenses. They really got after you. And so it really impacted me. I didn't know how much it would, when you think about the completion of us getting back this year, I didn't realize what I saw then is what we're trying to do now, because my mentor, Greg Marshall, worked for John Kress. He learned the system of how to coach defensively, changing defenses and having a Luke Harnesek offensive scheme. We try to do some of those same things here, and it's 20 years later, and our teams look very similar to the last team that made it to the NCAA tournament.
Earl Grant, head coach of Charleston's, got that team back in the tournament. Boy, you've had really quite a background. I love both those guys. This is an enormous Greg Marshall house. John Kress, to me, is one of the most unique coaches I've ever seen. Let me talk about Marshall for a minute, because back in November, I had him on the show after he faced you. And Earl, again, this is a big Greg Marshall house. What was it like being an assistant for him, and what did you take away from your time with him?
Well, being an assistant for him, I mean, I think the biggest thing you learned to evaluate talent, you learn to find guys with the right DNA to fit a system that's built around defense and rebounding and toughness. There were certain kids that couldn't play for Greg. And so I remember recruiting for him for 6 years. There were certain things we looked for in a kid. And so now, you know, being a head coach, when I go out to recruit, you know, a lot of times when I see a kid, one of the first things I think, I say, can he play for Greg? Can this kid play for Greg Marshall? And if he could, then I get excited about him. You know, so it's almost like when I go out and evaluate, I'm basing it on the fact that, hey, could this kid play for us at Wichita State? And if he could, he's a good get. He's a good get for us. And then on top of the evaluation, just in terms of scheme offensively, you know, how to control tempo, giving me a great blueprint in terms of a playbook. The formula is pretty good in terms of trying to run good offense. And sharing the ball, you know, it's a big deal about sharing the ball and taking good shots. And then defensively, like I said, changing defenses, just man-to-man, zone press, keeping teams off balance and give them a different look as much as you can.
Earl Grant joining us in San Diego, getting ready for the NCAA tournament. So listen, the tournament's a different animal unto itself. I know you've been in touch with Greg recently, got his advice for preparing for the tournament. What kind of suggestions did he give you?
Well, I mean, just, you know, be true to who you are. There's a reason you're in the NCAA tournament. You got there for a reason. Don't change. Don't feel like you need to do things different. Just stay true to who you are and continue to, you know, do the things that got you to this point. I think that's a big thing. And then enjoy it. You know, obviously everybody don't get to participate in the big dance. So enjoy it. You know, make the most of the opportunity and prepare your team. Prepare your team to win. Make sure the players understand that the season isn't over. this is a reward, but you still got to focus on your preparation and be ready to go out and perform.
Yeah, before I let you go, let me get your thoughts on John Kress, because you are the first coach since he was to take the Cougars to the NCAA tournament, and I know you've got a relationship with him that is special. Take me back. When you were an assistant coach at Clemson, and you were in the low country doing some recruiting, you stopped in a Starbucks, and you saw him reading an article. What was the article about, and then what was that conversation about?
You know, it was the weirdest thing. I was down there to evaluate a couple kids, and I went to get some shrimp and grits from my favorite place, the Variety Store, City Marina, right there on the marina in Charleston. And then something said, hey, look, you know, pop over to the Starbucks downtown on Calhoun Street, right under the Francis and Marion Hotel, King Street. And I didn't have to go to that actual Starbucks, but I went over there, you know, battled with the parking, and I walk in. And there's John Kress sitting down, and he has a Basketball Times magazine. And on the front of it, it had a big picture of one of the Wichita State players. And I think it had, like, Shocked the World on it. And Wichita was playing good basketball at the time. It was in December. And he was reading an article on his protege, you know, Greg Marshall. So, obviously, that's my mentor. So I sat down, and we talked. We had a little clinic. We had a little basketball clinic. We talked about basketball. We talked about recruiting. He got all excited. But again, I was at Clemson at the time and never had an idea that this thing would come all together and I would be the head coach here, like within a year and a half later.
With an amazing opportunity coming up. So final thought, knowing how much that program means to you, have you allowed yourself to think about what it would feel like and what it would mean to beat Auburn in the first round?
You know, I really hadn't had a chance to think about it. All I've done is try to prepare the team to the best of our ability, because that game's going to be tough. They got a good team, good players. Bruce Pearl's a great coach, so I'm sure his guys going to come out with a ratty attitude and really trying to get after it. So we've just been talking about the things we need to do to be successful. Really hadn't thought about it much at all. I always tell people my time for reflection will be in April at some point once I get to the Final Four at a convention. But right now, you're just so busy trying to prepare your team and get ready for what's next.
Clones, it's March Madness. You know that. All week, I've been talking to you about MyBookie. It's time for me to talk to you about the boatload of money that you can make this week betting at MyBookie. Now, if you've not checked these out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. You can join thousands of online players and start betting at MyBookie.ag. Look, are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Join MyBookie right now. This is why you want to make your way to MyBookie, because you win, they pay. Fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anyplace else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after tip-off. So join right now and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Use the promo code Rome to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today, promo code Rome. Play, win, and get paid. Visit MyBookie today, promo code Rome. Check it out. That's MyBookie. And now it's back to our Daily Jungle. Now, for years, I've been hearing from you Packer fans about how the team never does anything at all in free agency. And again, technically, it's not really true. They were the first big winners of free agency a quarter of a century ago when they signed Reggie White. But no, they haven't done a hell of a lot since then. I mean, sure, they did sign Charles Woodson. They did sign Julius Peppers. They did sign Martellus Bennett. But other than those guys, really nobody of any real consequence. It has not been a team, especially under their former GM Ted Thompson, that wanted to build through free agency. But Thompson is gone, and so is that strategy. Because the Packers, under their new GM, Brian Gutekunst, shocked the world yesterday. Shocked the NFL when he signed both Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson. And in order to sign Graham, they had to break off Aaron Rodgers' favorite receiver and one of his best friends, Jordy Nelson. Now, to be fair, Nelson probably already was gone. His fate was not sealed when they signed Graham, but when Davante Adams got that new deal. Never easy to run one of your best receivers ever, and never easy to run a guy who is one of the most popular Packers ever who's going to end up in that Packer Hall of Fame. But I know why they did it. You see, with Graham, Aaron Rodgers now has that kind of red zone monster that he's been looking for years. The kind of big-time free agency splash that Packer fans have been waiting for years. But again, man, that's an emotional day. I mean, you get one of the best tight ends of the era, but you have to say goodbye to one of your most popular players ever in Nelson. I mean, one second, you're celebrating the arrival of a Pro Bowl tight end. The next, you're mourning the departure of a franchise legend. And again, not just a franchise legend, but maybe Aaron Rodgers' best friend. So I'm not going to say be careful what you wish for, Packer fans, but when you bring in big-name players, you have to get rid of big-name players too. So that's a tough, tough day for everybody involved. Say hello to Jimmy Graham, but say goodbye to a guy who's top five in receptions, receiving yardage, and touchdowns for your franchise. The GM explained why he did what he did and talked about how tough it was.
There is those kind of things that you go through. But at the end of the day, I think ultimately we just decided that where we're heading is this was the best decision for us without getting into too many details.
You know, I hate to say it, but he's probably right. It probably is the best decision for that team. As good as Jordy Nelson has been, he is coming off a rough year. Now, part of that is he didn't get to play with Aaron Rodgers for a chunk of the year. But he does not seem to be as explosive as he used to be. And he'll be 33 later on this year, and he was due to make more than $10 million. Now, I'm not going to tell the Packers and the front office how to do their jobs, but I would tell you this. This I can tell you. You better make damn sure Aaron Rodgers knows what you're doing. You better make sure Aaron Rodgers is okay with what you're doing. Because they were more than just teammates. And if you want further evidence of that fact, check out what he posted on Instagram. Quote, "Hard to find the right words today to express what 87 means to me. No teammate exemplified what it means to be a Packer quite like him. From living in Green Bay full-time, his incredible contributions to the city, state, and region, to his consistent, reliable play on the field. Definitely a sad day and the toughest part of this business. There will never be another quite like White Lightning." Aaron's right. There will never be another quite like that guy. And there may never be another quarterback-receiver connection like the one Rodgers had with Nelson. I mean, these guys didn't just master that back shoulder sideline throw. They perfected it. They elevated it to an art form. I mean, that was the dream shake, the Dirk one-legged fadeaway, the Kareem skyhook, all rolled into one. You knew it was coming, and there was still nothing you could do to stop it. But, if you're picking between Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, and Nelson, because you don't want to trap nearly $36 million in your receivers, then Jordy Nelson's the guy who has to go. But just because it's true, it doesn't make it any easier. I mean, that whole thing was so rough and so emotional that it overshadowed the fact that Green Bay also added Muhammad Wilkerson to their D-line, which is another big win, but it still felt like kind of a sad day. Again, the truth is, Nelson being released probably has more to do with Davante Adams signing than Graham agreeing to a deal yesterday. But the fact that his signing and Nelson's release came within minutes means that they're always going to be linked. So now there's pressure on Graham, who doesn't know Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't have any chemistry with him yet, to make sure that the numbers ease the pain of losing a fan favorite. Because if Graham does struggle, there's going to be a lot of bitter Packer fans in 87 jerseys. So, Packer fan, you tell me, this is what you wanted? This is what you always wanted? The team to make a big splash in free agency, to take that big swing. They did, but Jimmy Graham is in, Jordy Nelson's out. Who would you rather have? And again, I'm not saying it's one or the other necessarily, but who would you rather have? Because they can't have both. Did they do the right thing? And again, if I'm the Packers, I'm not going to tell that front office what it should do or what it shouldn't do, but I would tell them this, you better make damn sure Aaron Rodgers is on board. And could they really make a move like that without checking with him? And if they checked with him, didn't he sign off on it? And that puts him in a tough, tough spot. Jordy's his guy. But you don't make a move like that one without checking with the quarterback. Or did they? Did they just do it? Hey, I wouldn't have. He still has to sign his deal. And don't make this out to be like some kind of, hey, Rome, why does he deserve that? You know why he deserves that? Because every star player gets that respect in any sport. Of course they will bounce it off their star player before they make a move like that, especially when it's a star player who's got the football in his hand and he's got to get it to one of the guys. Alex Van Pelt, the quarterback coach, also broken off. So it's a really interesting time with the Packers. I love how aggressive they are, but that doesn't make it any less sad. Dorian O'Daniel is my guest. Dorian, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. All right, let me ask you first about a tweet. You had a great tweet when the combine ended, which read simply, "I came, I saw, I competed, 2018 National Scouting Combine." Look, this is the world's biggest interview. So what kind of emotions were you having before the whole thing started? What were the types of things you were thinking about going in?
I had a few different mindsets going into it. The main thing for me was I was trying to not make the combine a bigger deal than what it's perceived as. You know, I've been playing football my whole life. I've been going to showcases my whole life, you know. So at the end of the day, it's just 40s. You know, it's just position drills. And then, I mean, granted, all the medical stuff and the psychological testing, that's a whole other thing. But as far as the athletic part of the combine, I just try to, like, just remain calm and at ease. So for me, that was my biggest thing going into it. And, you know, the tweet regarding, you know, I came, I saw and competed, you know, it was a great opportunity to be out there with bar none, you know, the best athletes in the country, and to be able to evaluate my skill set and how I was performing, you know, ranked amongst the other best linebackers in the country. It was a good feeling.
I feel like already talking to you for a couple of minutes, you probably handled the interview portion pretty well. Let me ask you this, though. I've had a number of guys come on over the years and talk about the combine being an absolute grind. And it's not just because of the workouts, but sometimes you got to get up really early in the morning or you stay up late at night. So are you able to kind of enjoy the moment, take it all in, or is the whole thing just a blur?
It's a little bit of both, to be honest, just because in moments where you're not doing anything and, you know, it doesn't seem like things are going by fast, you really have to take a step back and appreciate and understand, like, and kind of pat yourself on the back, because not everyone gets that opportunity, but to sit back and realize how your hard work has is paying off, you know, and you're in that moment. So I think just taking a step back and kind of realizing, you know, what's going on in front of you is probably most beneficial as far as realizing and emotion.
We're talking to Dorian O'Daniel. Now, you made the point that when you went to Clemson, you went there before Clemson was cool. So go back a little bit. You're originally from Pittsburgh. Your father played college ball at Slippery Rock, and then you and your family moved to Maryland. So what was it about Clemson that made you feel like that was the right spot for you?
So honestly, I mean, it sounds very cliche. I mean, so often you probably hear like guys talking about just, yeah, I visited and I just knew. But, you know, early on with the recruiting process, you know, I visited a lot of schools, and I wanted to go to some of those schools, and just things didn't work out because they had a guy commit or whatever the case may have been. And, you know, Clemson came in the mix. I didn't know much about Clemson, to be honest. I didn't know what state it was in. And, you know, I didn't have anything negative to say about Clemson. Clemson's cool, you know, CJ Spiller, you know, that whole era. And so, you know, I gave him a visit on my junior day, and when I just knew it was like just kind of that gut feeling, and I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity to a school that I really wanted to go to like I did in the past. So I committed early. I committed my junior year, and, you know, didn't take any visits after that, just remained loyal to the process.
So you knew right away, Dorian O'Daniel, my guest. What about when you meet Dabo Swinney? I mean, we're talking about obviously one of the most charismatic coaches in college football. I mean, shoot, this guy might be the most charismatic person on the planet. What's it like when he's recruiting you and looking for you to sign on the dotted line?
I mean, it's, what you see is what you get with him. I mean, he serves your heart, not your talent. He's a great coach, you know. He just wants the best for you, and all he wants you to do is do it right. And during the recruiting process, he made that very clear, and I knew a university like Clemson was going to help me better as a player and a man, you know, on and off the field. So it's a funny story, actually. Whenever I committed at dinner, me, my mom, Coach Jeff Scott, the wide receiver coach, and Coach Winnie, and I just waited on him. I told him I was going to commit, and Coach Winnie actually choked on some of his food. Like, so he kind of, like, had to stood up a little bit, but because he was surprised. But other than that, it was just a good feeling. You know, I felt confident and sure of my decision. And looking back on it, I mean, I can't complain. I think I made the right decision going forward.
Yeah, pretty clearly, right? But you come in as a running back out of high school, and then you make the transition to linebacker in college. What was that transition like? Was it what you expected?
No, it was nothing I expected. I came from someone that played running back their whole career. I'm talking Little League up to the end of my junior year. And there was a coach of mine, actually, that suggested that I switch to linebacker because I'd be in that advantage because my speed, you know, my instincts, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, me being a running back, I didn't want to hear any of that. You know, they love you more when you score. So I'm like, just kind of brush it off for a while. And then I kind of took a step back and looked from a different perspective. You know, running back's careers are shorter. You know, I'd rather be the hammer than the nail. There's a lot of factors that went into it. And I ultimately made that switch. So the thing about it was I didn't really play linebacker until the end of my junior year, as senior year in high school. So most of my offers coming out were at either position, running back or linebacker. You can decide, not both ways, like the side type situation. So I came into Clemson as linebacker, weighed very light, like 196. Huh. And for me, I didn't really know the position. It was C-ball, give-ball for me before coming to Clemson. So I had to redshirt. I had to gain weight, obviously. I had to learn the position, you know, just the details, just the little things about how to be an actual linebacker instead of just relying on my talent.
Not easy to learn that position at that level, and certainly not for that program in that conference. You know, when you arrived, the rap had been that Clemson was good, but in the past, they'd always found a way to lose games that maybe they shouldn't have. And now you're part of a group of players who play in two national championship games and win one. How would you describe the mindset and the mentality of Clemson football right now?
Right now, it's just we don't rebuild, we reload. We are very confident in the team and the culture and the work ethic that then the foundation that the players before us have laid in front of us. And it's our job to, you know, just keep that up and not let the culture get away from us. And I think Coach Sweeney and the coaching staff do a really good job of doing that and ultimately recruiting the right type of guys to uphold that standard. You know, our slogan here at Clemson is best of the standard. I think guys buying into that on and off the field is ultimately the leads to the success we have on the field.
Fort Collins, Luke. Hey, Luke, what's up? How are you?
All right. I'm great, Rome. Thanks for the vine. First of all, I need to upgrade from terrestrial radio to satellite pronto. Here in northern Colorado, the station that carries the jungle is actually the Cheyenne, Wyoming affiliate. In the middle of your conversation last week with Ian Rappaport, they went from the jungle to, like, Division V high school basketball semifinals. Casper versus Chugwater. Reaction! Like, nobody needs to hear that. I need the jungle 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, period. Secondly, Rome, I'm a big Duke fan, and it does not sit well with me that Coach K has done nothing about the scumbag punk behavior of Grayson Allen. The kid makes Gigi Allen look civilized somehow. He's the patriarch of the brat family. He's been in college long enough to give Baker Mayfield a run for his money. If this kid does go pro, he's better off splashing a drink in Charles Barkley's face than he is pulling this cheap shot crap in the NBA. I love Duke, but they deserve nothing in this tournament if they let this aggression stand, man. Something's got to change, and Coach K needs to quit being so cheesy and finally bring the hammer down on this kid. I'm going to bounce out of here, Romy, but feel free to pencil my name into your smack-off bracket. Late.
Nice job, Luke. Nice job. In fact, Luke, I will do that. Give him a golden ticket.
Because I've got a golden ticket.
More about the body of work, not about that phone call. And I am trying to get guys ready for the smack-off very quickly. Maybe you're new to the program. You picked it up on CBS Sports Network. Maybe you're listening on satellite. Maybe you heard it back in the day and you don't remember. The smack-off is a once-a-year event exclusive to this show where the best callers call in on one day. It's invite only. You can't just pick up the phone and lob me a telephone call on that day. The very best of the best compete against one another for $5,000. But it's more than the money. I mean, normally when somebody says it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. It's about the money, right? Or I wouldn't chip you off $5,000. Because certain guys come in for the $5,000. But more than anything else, it's about history on the program. The best of the best. Guys call that day that ordinarily will not call throughout the year, but they make a point because they want to show up on the biggest stage on the biggest day. But you need to be invited. How do you get invited? You start to call and you make a name for yourself. But again, there's like no criteria. You might get racked. Rack calls are calls that we save. If it's a good call, it gets racked and it gets saved. Maybe you string together three or four of those calls. Or maybe you come out of nowhere and you say something that's so different, something that's so good for the program that I can say right on the spot, that guy's different. You should be in the smack off. We've done that. That's where the golden ticket comes in. You have to play your way in. So when you hear that sound drop, when Alvin drops that on somebody, that means they've got the golden ticket. They're in the smack off. Understand about those things. It does not guarantee you'll get in. I've given them away, and then I've taken them away. That's the sound of somebody getting their golden ticket ripped, which actually is a hell of a lot better than giving it to them in the first place. I know how you clones think. You would much rather see somebody get one ripped than have them get it in the first place. So if you're new to the program and you're trying to figure out exactly how we do things, why we do things, and what the smack off is, that's what that is. The biggest day of the year where the best of the best come in here and they compete for $5,000 and the chance to be called King of Smack for a year. And believe me, guys have parlayed that into their own brands, into their own shows. You want to be a part of it. My man, Mike Freeman, is back. Mike, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, always good to come on the show. And the salaries are bonkers right now. It's crazy out there in the NFL.
In fact, it's bonkers and it's crazy, but you've also declared NFL free agency, Mike, the stupid season. What makes you say that, and what have you made of this stupid season so far?
Well, every offseason, Jim, you see these crazy salaries. I mean, it happens. The salary cap goes up a little bit, and teams overspend, and they do crazy stuff. This is another example, but on a larger scale. I mean, you're seeing quarterbacks get guaranteed deals, like Kirk Cousins, 3 years guaranteed, which is insane for a quarterback that is solid but not great. You're seeing Sam Bradford get $20 million guaranteed for 1 year. A guy who spent most of his career hurt is staggering. I mean, that's a level of excessive spending that we haven't seen in a while. So it's the same sort of thing. It's just worse than it's been, I think, in a little bit. And it's just it's part of it is the same thing we see. Teams just get desperate. They see these teams like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, who haven't won one before, haven't been in a long time. They see these young franchises like the Jaguars, who have been traditionally, at least recently, pretty bad, turn it around really quickly. And so teams are like, we can do that. So they're a little bit desperate, and more desperate, I think, than in the past. And you're seeing these salaries just jump exponentially because of that.
We're talking to Mike Freeman, and we're talking about the stupid season. Mike, go back to Kirk Cousins and the fact that he's going to get that guaranteed deal. It's really interesting because Doug Baldwin tweeted, quote, Kirk Cousins is a hero for all the young players that will follow after him. Now we need more players to bet on themselves until fully guaranteed contracts are the norm and not the exception, end quote. So first, what do you make of that tweet? And could that signing be a sea change moment, or is it just a matter of the right guy being in the right place at the right time with the right leverage?
Well, I love that tweet. I love the whole notion of it. And, Jim, I mean, I think you'd agree, of all the professional sports, the one that deserves the guaranteed salaries the most is the sport that's the most violent, which is the NFL. So, absolutely, they deserve guaranteed salaries. But I think your second point is dead on, in that it's more just sort of the moment. I don't know if this is going to start a trend. I hope it does. But I think it's more that the Vikings they just want a steady presence that they can count on for 5 years, and they're like, we're going to do what we can to get him. And I think they sort of bid against themselves a little bit. I don't think there was this great line of teams waiting for Kirk Cousins to pay him 3 years guaranteed salary, but I think the Vikings just wanted to really get in front of it and get it going and get it done and find someone that they think can be solid at that position for a while. But I don't think we're going to see this charge for guaranteed salaries anytime soon. The owners will fight that tooth and nail. That's one of the things that the owners hate more than anything else, and they hate a lot of stuff, is the whole notion of guaranteed salaries. Signing bonuses they're one thing. But guaranteeing a salary of every player of every year of a contract is poison to them. They hate that notion. They'll fight it tooth and nail. It would take a strike to get that. But we might see bits and pieces here. We might see a quarterback like what we see with Cousins. We might see bits and pieces here, but it's going to be a huge fight before we see guaranteed contracts across the board.
We're talking to Mike Freeman. All right, Mike, so let me ask you about the Packers. What do you make of the Packers' offense? What's it going to look like with Jimmy Graham but without Jordy Nelson? And what do you think Aaron Rodgers thinks about that deal?
Well, I'm sure Aaron hated it. They're very tight, those two guys. And just like a personal aside, whenever I go to Green Bay and training camp or games, the two nicest people in that locker room were Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers. Nelson is, for a lot of people who cover him and are around him, just one of the nicest, decent guys you'll ever meet. And also really talented guy. He's going to end up somewhere else. But that offense is still going to be great, Jim, because it's got Aaron Rodgers. So whoever is receiver there is always going to be good because he's that good. But adding Graham, I think if he can stay healthy, and that's a big if he stays healthy and he plays 16 games and he goes deep into the season healthy, he will be one of the best weapons Aaron Rodgers has ever had. He's just a really talented player. The problem has just been he's been hurt, but when he's not, he is so good, and he will give Rodgers one of the best targets Rodgers has ever had. But we, you know, let's just be honest. Whoever plays receiver in that offense is going to be great because Aaron Rodgers is great. And Aaron Rodgers is going to get going to be the next highest paid quarterback. He's going to get 10 years, 50 kajillion billion trillion dollars, which is a lot, I'm told, sources say. And he will get that, and he will transform the sport again with the salaries. But whoever plays with him is great because that's how good he is.
Mike Freeman joining us. Now, Mike, when he gets paid, that's not going to piss you off, right? Like some of these other deals, that's not part of the stupid season. That's a guy who deserves that money.
That's the smart season. That's
the smart season. Right.
When you pay him, yes, because he's worth it. He's, to me, a top five great all-time quarterback. So he's the kind of guy you do pay the outrageous money to, because he's worth it and he will always produce. You saw what happened to them last year.
Yep.
I mean, they just, without him, it just was not the same team. So, yeah, he is definitely worth it.
Mike, this story broke moments ago. Tyrann Mathieu released by Arizona. We're talking about a young guy. What happened to the Badger there, and what's the market going to look like for him?
I think the market for him is going to be great, Jim. There's going to be a lot of interest in him, at least a half dozen teams, probably more, that will want to take a look at him and bring him in. He's a really talented player. They just couldn't reach a contractual agreement there, but he will elsewhere because he's really talented. And he's one of those guys that you can kind of plug in at any position. He's just a really, really good overall defensive player. And he will find a place to go, and he will prosper wherever he goes. It's just that in Arizona, they just couldn't reach a deal. And this happens with some teams. They decide we're going to pay this guy an exorbitant amount, and we're going to take it from this guy. And that's one of the issues with the salary cap, is you just have a limited amount of money to spend. So Mathieu there was the odd man out, but elsewhere he will be really sought after because a lot of teams really like him.
Mike Freeman, NFL reporter for Bleacher Report, joins us for a few more moments. Mike, stepping away from the stupid season for a moment, you know, with all the craziness of the last few days, it's kind of been a distraction from the buildup to the NFL draft itself, but that buildup does continue. Baker Mayfield is having his pro day today. Are the questions and the concerns that NFL teams might have about him something that can be answered when this guy is throwing against air, or is it going to require something else?
Well, pro days are the most overrated, ridiculous, stupid thing in all of the NFL. Well, maybe not all, but close. They really add very little. Their only value is scouts get to sort of maybe have a conversation or two with them. But mostly, they mean nothing. So, I mean, Jamarcus Russell had one of the great pro days of all time. We know what happened to him. Some other guys like Bridgewater have had really horrible pro days who were really good. We've seen the spectrum. The pro days don't really mean anything. But the key for a guy like Mayfield will be when he goes and he starts talking to all these other teams. And they want to know, Is he really committed to football? There's some question about that. There's some question about his desire to be a stable presence that can be counted on. Can you count on him to be your guy? And to be Aaron, like the way you can kind of look at Aaron Rodgers, I know it's an extreme, but you look at Aaron Rodgers and go, that guy is the heart. He will always be there. He will always give 100% in every way. Can Mayfield do that? That's the issue teams have with him. They don't have as much of a problem with his physical talent or whatever. They wonder where his head is at. So that will be the question for him going forward.
Now, you tweeted about him moments ago. I'll be on the Jim Rome Show in 10 minutes where I'll say Baker Mayfield wearing a headband lowers his draft stock like an old fuddy-duddy billy goat from his old man lawn. What do you mean?
And you know what? My man, Pete Prisco, who we both love, who is just an old billy goat, who yells at the sky from his lawn like a old fuddy-duddy
Billy Goat.
Who said...
That's you, not me.
There's a picture of Mayfield with a headband on, and Pete Prisco tweets, would you show up to your job interview like that? Pete, he's throwing a football. What's he supposed to do? Get on a three-piece suit and a tie? Old goat?
I miss the old days, Mike. I miss the old days of you and Prisco on the set with
me.
Going back
me?
And forth like that. It is time. The JTP is waiting. In fact, the entire Twitterverse is waiting. The whole universe is waiting. Kyle in Green Bay. He's bidding for his golden ticket. He's got ink of the show. He has a YouTube channel. It's go time. Let's go to Green Bay. Kyle, brother, you're on the air. What's going on?
Rome, that was a long wait, but you know what? I stuck it out, and here we are.
Here we bleeping are, Kyle. What's going on? You coming for a golden ticket? Or are you coming
I
for the
am,
JTP? What's
I am,
up?
I am. It's not really the JTP. I've established a new group. It's called the JTB, which stands for Jungle Twitter Bags. All right? There's a lot of the JTB out there. And I got a couple plot points, and I'm going to give them a little explanation. Number one is self-pity. Most of these losers, they hate their lives. They're married. They hate their wife. They hate their kids. They hate their job. The best part about their job is when they get to listen to you. All right, number two is jealousy. These dudes hate any clones, new or old, that get any run or attention from you in the JTP. These dudes are too dumb, unoriginal, and probably don't have the balls to call a national syndicated radio show. So they just resort to being bags on Twitter with maybe their 50 to 200 followers. Next, we got their Twitter. Most of these bags resort to personal appearance insults. But it's pretty ironic because none of these dudes show their face on social media because they're cowards. Next, they're drama queens. A bunch of 30 to 50-year-old dudes fighting like 16-year-old chicks on Twitter, blocking each other, reporting each other. I'm sure their wives would be real impressed with some of those threads. Last room, I got a War of the Wood Scopes. I got an unwore In-N-Out burger. That place is trash. And War Culver's.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Kyle, literally everything you said about Twitter, the JTP, and all the haters was true. I mean, literally everything you said was true. I could not take any exception to any of that. And then you're going to call a Southern California native who used to work at In-N-Out Burger. My first job was at In-N-Out Burger on Ventura Boulevard, Ventura and Winnetka. Those living the 818 lifestyle know exactly where that restaurant is. How do you think I bought my first car? Where do you think I learned the grind that I have right now? In part from In-N-Out Burger. Come on, Kyle. I mean, that call was not going to get you a golden ticket. Don't get that part twisted. But you were going to make it to the end of the call, and I was going to give you some positive run. And then you want to come in here and lob that rock at me? Why would you do that? You know it's personal. In-N-Out Burger is trash? In-N-Out Burger is garbage? Bro, have I not been hyping you the entire day? Have I not had your back? Have I not defended you? Have I not shown appreciation? Look, you and I are still good. You and I are still good. But understand, that's personal. Don't come in here and talk crap about In-N-Out Burger when you know that's where I got my start. In fact, without In-N-Out Burger, there probably is no Jungle. Bro, were you going to try and pimp Culver's? Whatever the hell that is. Come on, man. A buttered bun? Anyway, I'm sure that's not why the JTP is coming for you. But I had your back right up until that point. Let's get some reaction. How did Kyle do? If I'm looking at his Twitter feed, too, I think my man's had a few Bush lights. Four, in fact. Hey, you got to do something while you're on hold for 90 minutes. Hey, Kyle, we're still good, man. Yeah, I mean, you can say or do almost anything on this show and still be good with me because you have ink of the show. That's a lifetime commitment. You and I are still good, bro. However, it doesn't mean that I'm going to let something like that slide. Quote, In-N-Out is trash. Why you got to hate? Well, somebody who just did an entire phone call on haters is hating. Why you got to hate on In-N-Out? For the same reason you said people hate on you. You get a little run, you get a little bit of shine, and people want to knock you down. There you go, clones. Bam. Thank you very much for listening. Trust all of our podcasts. B-Hop is ready and waiting for you. And I will be right back here tomorrow, and I will see you then. We're out.